Well, back on the line at Travel Writers Radio, we've got Yvonne Verstandig, who's the one of the directors of Executive Edge Travel and, of course, covers the luxury end of the market for us, and also experiential travel. For people who don't understand this concept of experiential travel, Yvonne, what is it?
Yeah, Graham, look, experiential travel is all about immersing yourself in a destination. You know, getting off the beaten track, experiencing authentic cultural and physical interaction with locals. So, you know, not just a city stay, but for example, you know, if you're doing a city visit, to actually have a walking tour with a local and seeing the city through the eyes of a local, as opposed to just, you know, going through the city yourself, you know, camping under the stars in Africa, expedition cruising, cooking with a celebrity chef, hiking through local villages, you know, really the idea is getting off the beaten track. And, you know, basically, well, I look at it that, you know, often it's experiential travel is on everyone's bucket list.
So, right.
Yeah.
Okay. And so experience, that part of the word should give us a good clue as to what it's all about.
That's now, right.
South America's of interest to you at the moment. I know you've been there.
Yes.
And Peru is a destination that you've got to talk about today.
Yes, that's right. To me, South America is a continent that offers plenty of experiential opportunities, and yeah, Peru is one of the ultimate destinations there.
I guess it's probably the one continent most people would not have visited.
Yeah, no, we do sell a lot of South America, Graham, so, you know, if you haven't visited, you definitely have to visit. And look, we've got clients that go back again and again. So,
right.
You know, do one country and then you want to visit another. You know, much like Europe, you know, you don't just go and do one trip ever to Europe. You'll go and see, you know, different parts of Europe, and that's the same as South America.
Yeah, I guess in saying what I said, people probably have more reason to go to the US or to Europe. They've been more Western for many years, and there've been a few issues on parts of South America, but it really is a great place to visit now. So if you were to pick three places, three experiences, what would they be?
Yeah, look, you know, I model it a bit on the trip that I had done. Look, you've got Lima and you've got Cuzco, Sacred Valley and Machu Picchu. Now, they're definitely the highlights. But if you want to get even further, you know, as I said, off the beaten path, going into the Amazon, whether it's by cruise or staying at an Amazon lodge, we ourselves obviously did the Cuzco, Sacred Valley, Machu Picchu triangle, but we actually did it as a trek. So we did a 7-day trek.
Yeah, a photo of you at Machu Picchu is pretty
pretty
good.
That, well, Graham, that was after 7 days of serious hiking. So that was just an unbelievable experience, and completely, you couldn't get more remote than some of the days that we had trekking from lodge to lodge. And then also, you know, I don't know if you're aware, but Belmond have brought out a new luxury train. So they're sort of the three experiences that I think need to be highlighted.
Okay. For cruising on the Amazon, for example, how does that tend to work? Obviously, is it like a large European river cruise or quite different?
No, very, very different. There's not a lot of companies that cruise on the river. Well, not of the luxury level. So there would be two main competitors in that set. And you actually fly, it's a flight up to Iquitos and then a couple-hour drive to a town, a little riverside town of Nauta. And there we chose a company called Delphin. Delphin have now, they've just launched their third boat, but we were on, I would say, probably the most exclusive, only that there's only four cabins on the cruise that we went on. So it's the Delphin cruise. Yeah, so, you know, where else, you very rarely would ever cruise on a four-cabin, you know, cruise,
vessel.
Basically.
Mm.
Yeah, vessel, thank you.
Was the whole family on board? You took it over?
Well, we didn't. That would have been nice. We actually had our two sons. Our daughter didn't come, so we took two of the cabins, and there were two other couples. But
okay.
Do you know, Graham, what was so divine? We still see both couples today. So we did that 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
One couple is from LA and one is from Sydney, and we catch up with them both regularly, which is really nice because that just shows the connection, you know, like-minded people, you know, seeking like-minded travel, and
yeah.
We were all together on this vessel for 4 days. It was amazing.
Oh, it sounds great.
Yeah,
now,
incredible.
The trip to Cusco and Machu Picchu,
yes.
Where did you stay there?
Okay, what we did was we started, we stayed in Sacred Valley at a place called Tambo del Inca, and it is part of the Starwood Luxury Collection group of hotels. It was in the Urubamba Valley, and we stayed there for a couple of nights, so got to see Pizac Market that a lot of people may have heard about, Urubamba Valley, did a hike up through Pizac, through the citadel there, and then we went into Cusco, and Cusco we stayed, well, there's the Palazzo Nazarenes, which is the Belmonts property, their latest property there, they've got two there. The very iconic Monasterio and the Palazzo Nazarene.
Oh, just remind people, Belmond used to be Orient Express, didn't it?
That's right.
So
that's
if
you
don't
changed its name a few years ago.
Yeah.
That's right. So, and then that's where we met our group, and we did this trek that is called, it's the Mountain Lodges of Peru, is the company, and they have got this trek that they've set up five lodges strategically placed through, actually four lodges, sorry, through the valley, and you trek from lodge to lodge. So to me, I love trekking, but I'm not a big camper. So it's the ultimate, you know, way to trek into Machu Picchu.
Right, okay. Of course, you can cheat and get the train to Machu Picchu, can't you?
Totally, totally. And there's a number of different train options to Machu Picchu. And in fact, a lot of clients will do it. You know, I'll book a lot of Peru. If people aren't trekkers, then that's one way. You can also do just a single night trek on the Inca Trail. But, you know, that's why I preferred our option with Mountain Lodges, because the single night trek or the Inca Trail is a well-trodden trail.
Yeah.
And you're camping. And you're there with many others here. You're staying in beautifully heated accommodation, and your boots are taken off you when you arrive and cleaned, and the chef travels with you. You've got the Sherpas. So it's a different experience.
Mm. No, it sounds fantastic. Now, there's also some issues around permissions required for
That's right.
Machu Picchu. Is that a difficult
Yes.
thing to obtain?
No, if you book in early, but you definitely need to get your permits to
Right.
access it. So, again, if you're doing it as part of a tour, whether it's a trekking tour or a train, you mentioned about the train, you can do full-day train journeys into and out of Machu Picchu from Cusco on the same day.
Right.
But you would usually do that through, we would do it, book it through an agency that would access the permits for you. Likewise, if you wanted to do, there's two main hikes there at the Citadel, and both of them you need to get a permit, and you need to specify whether you want, you know, the actual time that you want to do the trek. And if you miss that time, then you don't go to do it. So it's really important to know all of this information before you go.
Absolutely. No mucking around. Now, let's talk about the Andean Explorer. That's a Belmont
yes.
train. I have actually been sent some photographs of it by Belmont.
Oh.
It's a magnificent-looking train. There's not many trains where you can get a full-size double bed involved.
No, not at all, Graham. And, look, it's their latest train that they have launched only in May of this year. And who better than, you know, as you said, Belmont was Orient Express, so they've obviously got the Belmont Orient Express, Venice Simplon, the Grand Hibernian through Ireland, Scotland's train journeys, rail journeys as well. So they've got the one currently or that has been existing in Peru for years now, the Hiram Bingham, which is a very luxurious train, but it's only a two-hour journey.
Right.
What the Andean Explorer is offering is an actual overnight journey. So it's really the only South American luxury train of its kind that's a sleeper train. So you're actually, it's like a small hotel room hot water, showers, your own bathroom. It's beautiful, stunning.
There's something to be said for lulling yourself to sleep on a train. I can recall doing it many times on the fairly mundane overlander from Melbourne to Adelaide, but I really used to enjoy that. It's almost like being in a boat, I suppose.
Yes, and, you know, you do get the rickety, you know, movement, but a lot of people, there's... I've got a number of clients that just love rail journeys. It's a bit like cruises, you know, you get into the swing, or once you've experienced it once, you just love it, and it is a bit soothing.
Mm. Oh, I think it is. And obviously this is a fairly reasonable investment to do, the Andean Explorer. How does it compare with, say, a top-end hotel?
Oh, no, it's a lot more expensive. So, you know, but what you have to understand is that it's fully inclusive. So, you know, you're talking about all the touring component is included. You're talking about the transfers to and from, all meals, alcohol, everything is included. So,
okay. Well, that changes the complexion a little bit, doesn't it?
Totally. So you can never compare it to that.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you say the meals are included, there's a restaurant car, is there?
Yes, there is. And there's actually, the beauty of how Belmont do it, they use local ingredients.
Right.
So you've got the chefs, and it's actually the chef from Monasterio who has been, you know, creating meals at the Monasterio for years now. And the food I haven't been on, obviously, it's only been launched, but one of our Belmont rep here has just returned and said the food was just fantastic. You just would not expect that on a rail journey. And the beauty of it is that they really use all the local ingredients.
Hmm.
And each journey, they bring in you can almost taste where you are.
Sounds fantastic. Of course,
yeah.
Peru's producing some magnificent food. It featured in the world's 50 best restaurants. So as a country, it's certainly up there in terms of the culinary arts.
Totally. Gastronomic capital, really, of South America definitely is Peru. Lima is just, you know, as you said, the top three.
So, Yvonne, what's the best time of year to go to these places, or are they all different?
No, it really depends on what you're going there for. So the rainy season in the Andes, so that would be the Cusco Sacred Valley area, and also in the Amazon, is rainy season is really from December through to March.
So you're saying go then or don't go then?
If you want to do trekking, you know, you shouldn't go then. Like
right.
I told you, you know, we took our trek and it was the third last day that they were operating at end of December. Come 1st of January, they don't operate it anymore and we did trek in the rain, but I wouldn't have said don't do it because it was just the most amazing experience.
But wouldn't the waterfalls be really fantastic at that time of year?
Yeah, yes. And, you know, when you're travelling by train along the river to get to Aguas Calientes, which is the town that is at the foothill of Machu Picchu, it's just thundering and it's quite amazing. It's quite a spectacle, actually.
Yeah, I bet it would be.
Yeah, yes.
So let's say we're wussing it and we're going to, you know, not trek. Then somewhere after March, is it?
Well, really, April, if you want to go there in, you know, dry season, but who knows these days anyway, Graham, what weather, you know, shows wherever you travel.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
Go there in dry season and it rains. So, you know, but if you want to limit your risk, you go from April through to November, early December. But I would still go back in December, January and not worry about it. And you might have a downpour in Cusco, but you can still travel there, definitely.
Sounds fantastic. And obviously you had some wonderful authentic experiences over there, which I know is a huge issue, particularly with the millennial travellers. They're not interested if there's any sign of something that's forced or fake or cardboard cutout, are they?
No, and that's the whole thing. You know, but do you know what? It's not just millennials. It's across the board. You know, I'm definitely not a millennial, and I just crave adventure and experiences that you otherwise wouldn't. You know, if you just go to the capital cities everywhere, and, you know, unless, as I said, you do it with a guide and see it through a local or different experiences that you wouldn't otherwise know. You know, it doesn't matter what age, everyone wants the experiences.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah.
That's great, Yvonne. Thanks again. Very, very interesting and informative as usual. Now, if people want to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
Yes, to ring our office. So that's Executive Edge Travel and 903-9519-7777.
And if people who are perhaps offshore want to send you an email or look at the website?
Yes, definitely. So we're executiveedge.com.au, and you can also see we've got blogs on there as well. So my, you know, I've done a blog on my trek,
yep.
And one of our other team have been on one of the cruises, so you can see it there. But definitely to hop onto our website and to send us an email.
Yeah, you can recognise so Yvonne. She's the one standing spread eagle on the top of, it must be the mountain next to Machu Picchu, is it?
That's the citadel there. The
citadel, right.
Yeah, the
fantastic.
Machu Picchu ruins that you can see from
beautiful.
The top of Huayna Picchu.
Thank you, Yvonne. And
pleasure,
look forward
Graham.
To talking with you in another 4 weeks or so.
Sounds great. Thanks
okay.
a lot.
You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.